Get around it. I'll get it queued up here. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Colquhoun meeting on the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It is Wednesday, October 22nd, approximately 1:35. We're meeting for an informal today on case number PU14-620, Paradigm Midstream Services, ND LLC, crude oil pipeline in McKenzie and Montreal County, requesting a PCNN. A little background on this. We put it out for anyone requesting an informal hearing. That closed by September 12th. No one requested a hearing, so we're doing the informal today. I don't have any opening comments. I'll see if Commissioner Crisman does, and I'll turn it over to their portfolio holder.
I also do not.
Okay, Commissioner Fedorchuk, it's your nickel.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for being here. I think we can just get started right away with introductions and then go into, you guys can present whatever you'd like, and we'll ask you questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Fedorchuk. Appreciate the opportunity to appear before you this afternoon. This is an application of Paradigm Midstream Services, ND LLC, for a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity. For the ease of the commissioners here, we've passed out a map that hopefully you can follow along when the one witness we're going to be having here today will discuss it. The witness we plan on calling in this matter is Tommy Janik, J-A-N-I-K. And Tommy is the VP of Engineering and Construction at Paradigm Midstream Services. We also have present in the hearing room today Jason Stelzer, S-T-E-L-Z-E-R. We don't plan on calling Jason as a witness, but in the event that there are some questions that fit into his area more than Tommy's, he would be available to call to answer any of those questions. You know, since this is an informal, I guess we don't swear in witnesses. Is that correct?
At some point, before I'll just ask right now, will you offer up your testimony and your witnesses to the commission?
Yes.
And we're happy to receive it. That's the only thing we have to do.
Okay. Thank you very much. I guess with that in mind, we will call Mr. Janik. Tommy, why don't you state your name for the record and indicate by whom you're employed and in what capacity?
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Bender. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Thomas Janik, J-A-N-I-K. I go by the name of Tommy. I'm currently employed by Paradigm Midstream Partners, LLC. I am their Vice President of Engineering and Construction. I bring to Paradigm 38 years of oil and gas pipeline experience. I am a degreed civil engineer. Have practiced, as I said, for 38 years in the oil and gas pipeline business and their related facilities. During that 38 years, I've been employed by interstate pipeline companies, engineering, design, and consulting firms for about 13 years. I've had my own independent engineering design firm, and I've supplied services to the oil and gas industry. For 15 years, the last 15 years of my career, I've been employed in various management positions with construction companies, midstream pipeline companies, and most currently with Paradigm.
Okay, and what I'd like you to do is just spend a few moments discussing the type of pipeline that Paradigm is proposing in this area.
All right. We handed out a map, and I will be referring to that map as I go through the description. But at a very high level, the pipeline project that we have before the commission today is approximately a 70-mile system that would originate in McKenzie County and cross Lake Sakakawea and enter into, help me on the Montreal County. Yeah, thank you, Jason. This pipeline system, again, is about 70 miles in length. The purpose of it is to move crude oil from the production areas there on the south and west side of the lake there in Montreal County and make that crude available to delivery points on the east or north side of the lake in Montreal County. The Again, I said this will be a crude oil pipeline, moving only crude oil across the system. It is going to be designed to move approximately 230,000 barrels a day from McKenzie County into Montrail County.
And what's the size of the pipeline?
It's a dual size. The first portion of the line that originates in McKenzie County is a 20-inch line. It will cross the lake as a 20-inch line. And the terminus of the 20-inch section will be near the Newtown area, as it depicted on the map. From there, there will be a 16-inch line that would be constructed up to a facility just outside of Standley.
Okay, and in terms of the point where it begins, I think you indicated it's near Johnson's Corner. It's actually north of Johnson's Corner. Is that a fair statement?
That is correct. On the map, again, there is a north-south roadway. I think it is a continuation of Highway 23. Paradigm has acquired a tract of property there on the west side of Highway 23. It is between Keene, North Dakota, and Johnson's Corner. In our application, we refer to that origination point as Johnson's Corner. So that will be the origin point for this new pipeline system.
And perhaps it would be helpful if you would explain just briefly some of the receipt points and how that impacts the size of the pipe that you're planning for this pipeline system.
Very good. We currently have under construction a gathering system coming in from the north area, gathering production up there. That will be coming into this facility. We have recently, just last week, announced an open season to the pipeline community to confirm interest in utilization of this pipeline to move crude across the lake into the delivery points there in Montrail County. We expect that what we will have is shippers and or producers will bring product, crude oil, to our origination point, our terminal. That could be either by pipe or by truck. But what we will be doing is making this new point available to receive production generally out of McKenzie County that is currently either has no place to go or is curtailed because of the ability to move that oil across the lake. The only means they have essentially now is by truck. This pipeline system will help us not only reduce that traffic, but also provide a more continuous means of moving that production to the delivery points on the east.
Tell me if I could, since this is informal, can I just jump in, I guess, whenever?
Yeah, sure.
Now, this obviously isn't the siting hearing we're having today.
Correct.
But why do you want the PCNN before you've even got the pipeline built and the Enbridge line is all buggered up in Minnesota right now? Why come in? What does the PCNN give you that you need this now? What does it help you with?
Mr. Chairman, we're one of many new entrants into the oil and gas business in North Dakota. We want to be totally transparent on what our goals and intentions are to develop, projects in North Dakota. We feel like this is a box. This is a procedure that we need to go through to promote that transparency. This is a project that has been out there. We want everybody to know that project is out there. Again, being transparent, we feel that's important for our well-being as a business in North Dakota. And also, with this status, we believe it gives us, in essence, a seat at the table, so to speak, to help review or at least comment on future development. So, we're making a very significant financial expenditure with this system. So with this, having a seat at the table, allowing us to at least comment on, future projects in the area, we think helps us protect that interest and also provide another voice to you as a commission if you choose to evaluate future projects.
So do you feel it helps you when you, if the commission grants the PCNN, you can go to potential shippers and say, hey, listen, we've already got the PCNN, we've got the plans to build a pipeline, so then come with us?
We're not using this as we have this status with the shippers. I mean, the shippers are really, their interest in is our ability to execute. So we are proceeding now with its concurrent activities, a lot of the permitting that is associated with this, preliminary siting of the route. So again, we feel this just provides us that one extra level of scrutiny, so to speak, you know, for us as a company.
Do you know when you might file an application in a ballpark, in a season time frame?
You're
winter, spring?
A corridor certificate and
right.
permit?
Just exactly.
We're thinking within a month.
Okay. Fair enough.
Again, our open season commenced on October the 13th or 14th, and it runs through November the 14th. So what we want to do then is get all of that input from the shippers that we can about their need, their support, you know, for the project before we come out with a formal application.
In my view, and PCNN's, and just my view, is that you've requested one. Nobody requested a hearing. I don't see a lot of debate in this back and forth. But I'm just trying to think about what you think is so valuable for this and putting it in front of the siting hearing. So thank you.
We already had this scheduled. This was filed in July. We've certainly had great amount of progress in development of the project since then. Since this was scheduled, we felt it was important to just go ahead and see this through its normal end, which what we hope is a granting of this status. But certainly, the project progresses.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Just a follow-up to Commissioner Kalk's questions. You indicated that you'll probably be filing your request for a corridor certificate and a route permit in the next month or so. So the company is quite a ways along in terms of doing all the environmental work, researching where the pipeline will go. Is that a fair statement?
That is a very true statement.
Okay.
Yes.
And perhaps you mentioned something about in response to Commissioner Kalk's question, the fact that there's going to be a considerable investment here. Can you tell us approximately how much money you believe Paradigm Midstream is going to need to spend to build this line?
We believe our total investment in this project, the pipeline and the terminal, is on the order of $160 million.
Okay. And I'm going to go back to the question I asked before because I don't think you answered it. I asked you to describe the pipeline in terms of where the pipeline begins, where it ends, and some of the receipt points, and talk about that in the nature of the size of the pipeline. Can you, or the size of the pipe, excuse me.
Go ahead.
Can you explain that for us?
Okay. I guess let's refer back to the map. You're saying receipt points. That's you threw me there.
Receipt. Okay.
Okay. Again, on this side of the lake, the red line on this map is depicting the route that we are proposing for the line. There at that Highway 23 terminus point there, it's actually our origin point. That's where we will receive crude oil by our pipeline that we're constructing in from the north, other pipes that may be constructed as a result of our open season, and certainly truck traffic that would be routed to that location. Those would be our receipt points.
And the size of the pipe there is going to
be? The size of the pipe leaving that point there will be the 20-inch section of this line. It'll continue as a 20-inch generally east until we cross the lake. There is a turn in the routing. It generally takes it north up to the Newtown area. At the Newtown area, we are proposing an interconnection with Plains Rail facility there at Newtown. That will be the first point at which crude oil will be offloaded from our pipeline. Since we are offloading some of that volume at that point, the need for that same size line is not contemplated going further north to the Stanley area. So from generally the Newtown area north to Stanley is going to be the 16-inch section of our pipeline. There at Stanley, there are interconnections through Enbridge that will allow us to move or will allow Enbridge to move a shipper's product by rail to the three coasts. They carry that product farther to the east where it interconnects with additional pipeline systems that can provide those shippers and producers additional points or destination points for crude oil originating here in North Dakota.
Okay. Well, let's spend a little time talking about...
Just to clarify that, you'd be feeding two rail facilities and the Sandpiper line.
That is correct.
Okay. Did you look at building the 20-inch all the way up to Stanley?
We have considered that, yes.
And you chose not to, or that's not your plan because...
That may change depending upon the input that we get through this open season process. For the volumes that we're talking about now, the pipe sizes that we have indicated, the 20 and the 16, will move those volumes.
And just so I understand the connection between yours and Enbridge, you don't secure capacity on the Enbridge Sandpiper. Your shippers would for themselves?
We do not. We just provide the conduit.
Okay.
To provide those connections. It would be up to a shipper or a producer or someone who holds capacity in the Enbridge system to be able to move their oil through Enbridge.
Okay. Thought I'd turn it off.
And I think that's a good point. Will Paradigm own any of the oil that's transported on this pipeline?
No, we do not take equity interest in the barrels. We only provide the service of movement of the oil.
Okay. Will you get a tariff from FERC, or how do you charge?
There will be a tariff filed. That is part of the open season process that is ongoing now. That is out there. It's my understanding of that FERC process. Shippers are required to respond back to us with a confidentiality agreement first, where we can trade additional details, you know, on that process. They in turn look at their alternatives for moving oil, markets that they want to access, and then they'll make a decision as to whether or not they want to participate in essentially taking space in our pipeline that we will construct. And for that, there will be a tariff that will be filed.
One of the questions I still have bouncing around is how would the commission approve a PCNN on a pipeline that the exact route has not been established yet? Because when it's in the PCNN, it protects a certain area. Without having that established area, how could you grant a PCNN? How would you do that? You'd have to have this is the area.
We are fairly confident at this point of the route.
We've yet to have the hearings.
Well.
So you said I'm in a box that puts me in. If we approve a PCNN for this route and we come to the hearing, there's something in the route that comes out in the hearing that changes that, then I'm trying to blend those two.
Yeah, and I understand, Commissioner. I will tell you that maybe you'll recall, maybe you won't recall, but when we were here a few months ago on the Bakken Link pipeline...
We'd already built that.
Well, yes, and we were criticized for seeking the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity after the line was built. We were told that it should be done ahead of time. And frankly, I believe it should be done ahead of time because...
Or in conjunction, at least.
Yes, and we are actually involved in filing the corridor certificate and route permit, but I think it makes sense to do it before... Because it's a certificate of need, and after the line is built, it's a little late to be talking about, whether it should be built or not, whether there's a need for it. But, I think the statute is unclear as to whether you can do it before or after, but I do think it makes sense to have it before.
Okay, but then how would we answer the question on the exact route? You'd file, what exhibit do you have that gives us a in your application, do you have something more detailed that we could refer to? Other than, I know you handed out this map today, but I'm guessing that staff would need something a little more detailed to reference in a PCNN than this.
I think we can provide something in more detail, Commissioner, but, you know, before, you recall, and probably Mr. Fawn can help us out here, but my recollection is that the Certificate in Public Convenience and Necessity was granted for the Bakken Link Pipeline, and it was a particular area around
right.
the pipeline.
Agreed.
And perhaps we could do something like that again on this case.
And then if it gets down the road and it would go outside, then you could go back and amend something or modify something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to talk through that now because this is our only chance to do that.
Great question.
Here, Pat, use mine.
I do recall, you know, what you're talking about, the area 10 miles either side of the pipeline, I think it was. But in that particular filing, you were gathering oil from other producers all along the line. And is that the case with this pipeline as well?
No, sir. No, sir. In this case here, all of the crude oil that will be moved through this line will originate at at our site there off of Highway 23. That is the origin point for the pipeline. Crude oil will be aggregated to our site mm-hmm. there off of Highway 23. But along this line, no, there will be no deliveries other than those we have currently identified.
I guess then I see this as a little bit different application, and the certificate to serve would be for transport of crude oil in the pipe, not necessarily an area surrounding the pipe where they're gathering and they have interconnections for gathering lines.
And that gets to one of my questions on these. How do you define what your service territory is for something like this? What would the PCNN protect? You know, is it a geographical area or?
As I understand the process, this is going to give us a right to comment on any competing line that would follow the general area.
Pulling crude from all through McKenzie County, I mean, that's your area, right?
Well, we may not be pulling that crude. Others may be bringing that crude to our facility.
Right.
Similarly to the way they do that with current connections. You know, this
again,
project
but
is
so
just
what
an
would
alternative.
You be? I guess how would we define what is protected as yours?
I still think it's still appropriate to have 10 miles either side of the line like you did with Bakken Link because, yes, there were some, and I apologize earlier, I used the word receipt points. I should have been using receipt and delivery. I apologize for that. But not unlike Bakken Link. Bakken Link, there were various receipt points along the way. It was from Beaver Lodge, I believe, down to Freiburg. And there were a few receipt points along the way. But certainly that could happen in this case as well. And in the Bakken Link case, more receipt points could be added. And I think that was why it was appropriate to have 10 miles either side of the pipeline, because we were serving an area. And obviously you go out beyond that, then, you know, it's up to the Public Service Commission if somebody makes an application to determine whether another line is necessary. But it provides some mm-hmm. protection in that case for Bakken Link and in this case for Paradigm to, as Tommy put it, have a seat at the table and say, you know what, maybe this line shouldn't be here. Maybe it should be someplace else. Mm-hmm. And that's the purpose of the application.
Could you get enough oil to fill this line within 10 miles of the receipt point? Can you get 200?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our commercial research has indicated there is some 400 plus thousand barrels of production available there in the McKenzie County area.
But that is that within 10 miles of the start of your line? There's 400,000 barrels?
That I can't answer. It could be delivered by pipe to that point.
Mm-hmm.
gathering lines, trucks.
Yeah.
I think it's key to figure out exactly what you would like it to be. If you want 10 miles, then say that. If you want 6 or 12, or
perhaps
we should put something anchored in there today.
Excuse me for interrupting. No. And perhaps what we can do is we can talk about this a little bit more after the informal and get back to you with a supplemental exhibit.
And whatever it is, it's fine, just as long as we know what the request is so we can...
Very good questions.
Because if we end up with a 10-mile wide or 6-mile wide or whatever, then reasonably in a sighting hearing, we're not going to deviate 6 to 10 miles off a route request that we've been off of maybe a half mile before in route deviations, but we've never gone that far.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the route deviations, we're fairly confident with that. We've gone a long way with our environmental assessments and surveys and that, so we're pretty confident on the route. We would have to think about the further protection. Honestly, I did not anticipate that as being a major question from the commission standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly as we go through this open season process, we will know much better about where the oil would be coming from that would be transported on our system.
Mm-hmm.
And like so many things, unlike so many things that the commission hears, there's no big rush on this.
Really? Can we have that in blood? can we talk some about competition in that area already? What exists here? And I think Julie has pulled some maps of lines that we know of that exist. Have you guys analyzed what is already in the ground in this area that you might be competing with?
We believe we're competing with a Tesoro pipe that leaves the area. Frankly, we think our biggest advantage is we're going to be able to move the crude oil out of that area by pipe and not by truck. You know, we think there's, you know, if there's 400,000 available there and say we're moving 230 or so, there may be 100,000 that can move out, you know, by pipe or other means now, so that's still going to leave, you know, approximately 60,000 to 70,000 barrels that would be available for others to move.
Mm-hmm.
But Tesoro, I think, is I didn't bring my glasses. I think there is a Tesoro that leaves the area. I can't recognize the others.
What about the lake crossing? Can you talk about what you're doing? I know that's more of a siting issue, but curious how far along you are with the Corps on your permit to get across the lake, and because Bakken Lake has been waiting a long time on that very issue.
The Corps application
has
been in since early September. Similarly, the Sovereign's Land permit was submitted on or about the same date, early September. From a design standpoint, we've engaged a firm out of Tulsa that is one of the preeminent engineers at designing HDD crossings. We have issued a letter of intent, conditional letter of intent, to the contractor that would be making that directional crossing.
So you're going to drill? You're going to bore?
Going to bore.
How many miles?
About 11,600 feet, so that's a little over 2 miles.
Wow.
It's going to be an interesting crossing. But
have you ever done that before? That long of a bore, been in?
It's been done that length before, not with this size.
Mm-hmm. And is there any collaboration occurring between pipeline companies on trying to get you know, one big permit or two big permits to cross the lake and everybody share? Because this seems to be an eternal challenge, is the lake crossing.
That's been talked. You have too many competing interests there. Doesn't lend itself to a
is there antitrust issues with just collaboration on that sort of thing, or what? Because this is something the public asks, like, why can't this happen? And it, you know,
there is actually a company out there right now who's been working with the Bureau of Land Management, because as I understand it, when there's more than one federal agency involved, if there's the Forest Service involved and the Corps and others, the BLM will many times take the lead, and they are talking about installing a 60-inch diameter pipe and then filling that 60-inch diameter pipe with a number of different size pipes. The Corps is ecstatic about it. The BLM is ecstatic about it. Whether it'll ever come to fruition, I don't know. But there is some discussion about that. Actually, installing it in two places, one more towards the boundary between Montana and North Dakota, and then another one more, I would say, to the east of that, but I don't know how far.
And this is a private firm that's looking at building the sort of the culvert.
Yeah. they have an interesting name. They call it Bakken Bridge.
Oh.
And I forgot how many different pipes they, you know, obviously it's dependent upon the size, but, you know, as many as 10 and 15 different pipes in the 60-inch pipe.
Huh. So,
throw some fiber optic in there, too.
Yeah, probably. But once again, whether that happens and when it happens is...
You guys are going for your own bore.
Yes. Yes, ma'am, we are.
And has your engineer given you any kind of expectation of when you might get approval for that?
We are targeting being able to begin drilling or installing the crossing in February, mid-February. As of my update meeting this morning, it's doable.
Your mother must work for the Corps.
Pardon?
You must have a really tight connection somewhere. I'm guessing your mom.
You know, we think this project. I mean, we have a partner in here. We've announced that we are, you know, constructing this line as a joint venture between Gray Wolf Midstream, which is an affiliate of Missouri River Resources, you know, the tribe. So they are a part owner of this pipeline system. That helps us more than anything with the routing, the alignment of the crossing and the crossing itself.
Fair enough.
Well, Tommy, you've talked, I think, quite a bit about need. Let's talk about some of the other criteria that's necessary to meet before the commission can grant a certificate of public convenience and necessity. Let's talk a little bit about fitness and the ability to provide the service.
Very well. Paradigm is a young company, but we have brought many industry veterans to the table as part of our senior management team. Troy Andrews, our CEO, is a 25-year veteran, you know, of the oil and gas industry, most recently with Oxable, very familiar with, you know, oil and gas and liquid operations, you know, for pipeline systems across the country. Our chief operating officer, Chris Doss. Chris is originally an ARCO oil and gas employee. He's bringing 30 plus years to the table in varying capacities as engineer, as different operating roles, you know, through ARCO. I mentioned I'm bringing 38 years of design, construction, and operating experience, you know, to the team. Chief Financial Officer is 15 years, primarily involved in the equity market. We believe we have a very, very strong equity partner in this in Stonepeak, They've made a substantial commitment to us to fund, you know, this project for us. So we believe we put together a very good team of folks that have a great knowledge of the oil and gas industry, certainly a lot of experience, all though new to Paradigm.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think I have anything further.
Okay. The only thing, I guess, from my thoughts is the I think everything's in order from what I look at, other than just finding that anchor point of what the pipeline's going to be. We can work through that. But on the note about the timing, you talked about February. I know you're talking about it, filing this pretty quick, but I was just doing some pencil drills here. Let's suppose you file the application with the commission November 1st. Takes our staff a couple weeks to deem it complete. And then we have a meeting and notice the hearing. You throw out 45 days. We're into January. And then we have the hearing. And then there's always something that comes out of the hearing. And so we're already into February. So, you know, you don't need things immediately. I understand on the PCNN. But if your goal is through the construction, the sooner we get the application to staff to get a look at it, the better.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we're continuing with the progression of this project while this is going.
Oh, absolutely. But we need to get the applications filed as soon as possible so we can do our work with it and get the hearing scheduled.
Understood.
That's separate from this, but that was my edification. So.
I have a takeaway to visit with our commercial group to see if we can put some definition on this. What is a protected area?
Yeah, your service area. What we're, you know, what we're basically protecting with the PCNN. That, to me, is the central piece of this whole issue. Julie, do you have some questions? She's the...
So you identified some...
You got to turn your mic on, Jules.
You identified a couple permits that were outstanding, the Corps permit and then the State Engineer's Sovereign Lands permit, correct?
That's correct.
What else?
We have air permitting that we will be submitting to the state at the, of course, at the county level. We're working through a new site development plan for our origin point, our CDP, the terminal there just south of Keene. So that will require some rezoning, some county permits to allow us to begin construction of those facilities. And we have road and other utility crossings that we need to obtain. I think I'm told section line permits to cross, whether there's roads there or not.
Okay. Are there other federal outstanding permits besides, is there BLM or is there grasslands or anything in that area too? Or
we have a route does not cross.
Okay. Okay.
That would be more, I mean, just for my own clarification, that's not for a PCNN decision.
No, but it's a, just maybe a federal approval that might be necessary to outstanding.
Be contingent.
Right.
For a PCNN?
No, I'm just saying, asking what other federal approvals they might need besides the core approval to cross the lake. There's, you know, land adjacent to the lake sometimes,
but
that's federal land too.
Citing questions, not PCNN questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
No, I'm just asking so we're not muddying the waters between the two different decisions here. So that's okay. Is there PCNN stuff that we would that you'd need to file? I'm saying this is all good, but I don't know if this is tied to this.
Not
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I was asking that was if there would be a portion of the line that they didn't get the permit for,
right,
like we did with Bakken Link, would the north portion still stand alone, or would you move forward with PCNN on that part? Is there any portion of it that would stand alone, like from your transload facility north?
Not at this time, no.
Okay.
I mean, the goal is to make available a route, a conduit, to get that McKenzie County production.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We talked about your construction schedule. One thing we looked at the origin point, is there an overlap of Bakken Link's service area at that origin point? Are you aware?
I do not know the answer.
Okay.
We can probably take a look at that, and mm-hmm. when we come back to you with a proposal for the the area of the CPNN, we can see if there's any kind of overlap and include that on the map.
Okay, good. Just make sure that we talked about everything on here. We did review the financial information that you submitted, and I think we talked about technical and managerial ability.
Wish my financial statement looked that good.
Ditto.
Are we any
covered it?
Parts of these that criteria that you feel are?
Did you cover all the criteria you think, Julie?
Well, I think we did. Between the application and your testimony. Unless there's something else you think we're missing.
I just have a couple, kind of curiosity questions maybe, but from your description of the project, it sounds like you're going to have receipt points in the state and offloading points within the state. So there will be some intrastate transportation that you would have a tariff for, and you would file that tariff with the commission because of the intrastate portion. And the other question that's even more out of curiosity is the siting application, is it going to be a joint application? Because of the partnership with Gray Wolf Midstream?
We haven't discussed that yet, Pat. I found out about that this morning.
Oh, okay.
that they had a partner.
Yeah.
But we'll be making that decision down the road and probably in consultation with you and your attorney.
Okay.
So that we do it right.
All right.
I have some questions before we wrap up, though. First one's curiosity, then I'll get back into the PCNN. But I assume that the way this line is drawn, if it were blown up large enough, that you're missing the U.S. Forest Service land there east of Johnson Corner.
Jason is nodding his head yes.
Okay.
Missing Forest Service and grasslands, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so then to reiterate and make sure I got it right, all the oil would be input at your location there between Keene and Johnson Corner.
That is correct. The
only other point of anything coming in or going out before Stanley is at Newtown, and that's to offload oil. And then you get up to Stanley, and there would be an offload for rail and one for Enbridge.
That is correct. There would be interconnections there to allow our shipper or our producer to move his oil into either rail facilities or into pipeline facilities.
Okay, and then Stanley. Is your, let's say you have all your approvals in PCNN, is your construction at all hinging on Enbridge moving forward with the Sandpiper line? Or is this a construction project that goes regardless of that?
This project goes regardless.
Okay. When we talk about the protected area, I don't know, someone in the back and forth mentioned 10 miles, so let's just use that for the example. When we did the Bakken Link, you know, it's a whole series of places where they would take on oil. But here, if there's just one, would you feel if you had a PCNN that once you got more than that 10 miles away, that someone else building something to take in oil would be a competitor of yours and that you should have something to say? For example, someone wants to originate a new pipeline at Newtown to go somewhere. You're not taking any oil anywhere near within 10 miles of that. Would you say that that's something that you should have say about?
I would say yes, because there is, you know, we're providing that connection, you know, between the river into Newtown and to Enbridge. So, yes, I would like to have a seat at the table to at least discuss that.
So really,
because that could be potential volumes that would not be moving on my system.
How would oil from a well, say, somewhere near Newtown, get on your system?
The way this is structured, we would have to go out with essentially another open season to define a new receipt point, you know, for oil coming in at Newtown. Currently, what we're out there, what tariffs we're establishing, you know, do not consider oil coming in at any point other than our facility at Keene.
But you would envision that being a possibility, so you would want to have a seat at the table in discussions
I would
love
to be able to say, as a result of this open season, that we had just extreme shipper interest to where if there's production in and around Newtown that wanted to get into this line. You know, I'd love to have that problem. But as we know it today, we don't think that's the case.
And well, my colleagues heard me voice frustration with non-pipeline, but other types of utilities that come in and get our approvals and then don't do anything for long periods of time. And so I'm wondering how you feel. Let's say that your core approval or someone else's approval that's necessary is not as quick as you hope, and this drags on a long period of time. If you're not getting this built, but you have already been given a PCNN, how much time do you think that should cover, you know, where years down the line you still have a seat at a table and potentially object to someone else's project because you've got this, even though you're not getting yours built? Is there a time frame that you feel this should be applicable?
I can consult with my commercial team and provide an answer back when we answer you about this protected area.
Because I do have concerns about it just being limitless.
I understand.
To follow up a little bit on that
question. Go
ahead.
I'm just looking at anything. So.
I might not be understanding the authority of a PCNN correctly, but my belief is that we would have the discretion to decide if somebody else wanted to come in and serve and you weren't serving, we would have the discretion to say go ahead and give them a PCNN or just allow them to build their project even without a PCNN.
Yes.
So the commission still has that authority to make that kind of a judgment. Okay.
Exactly. That's why I see it too. And the same thing, that once your pipeline is full, your PCNN doesn't do much for you because you're full. What it does is just protects to make sure that you can keep that pipeline full in the early stages, if you will. So, okay.
I think I'm good.
Julie?
I'm good. Thank you.
Patrick and other Julie? Okay. Well, I guess as soon as you can get the discussion with staff on what the proposed order might look like, clarifying some of those questions, I think we can then move forward on it. So,
well, thank you very much, Commissioners.
All right. We'll close the informal. Thank you all.